Good morning. Here we go. Proverbs 31. We're going to look at verses 7 to 31. And this is kind of good timing because Mother's Day is approaching next month. Actually, verses 10 to 31. As I was a young guy in elementary school, I remember that every time near Mother's Day, we would have to make cards for our moms. And we would do an acrostic. You guys remember what an acrostic is? And we would put M for the many things you do, and O would be for over the top of all moms, and T, the very best, and H, let's see, what did I put for H? How much you make me happy, and E is every day I need you, and R is really, really I love you bunches. And so it was an acrostic. And these last 22 verses that we're going to cover is an acrostic poem in the Hebrew. And in the Hebrew Aleph Bet, there are 22 letters. And if you were here about maybe 3-4 years ago, we did Psalm 119, and each part of Psalm 119 is part of the Hebrew alphabet, and we tried to learn the Hebrew alphabet. I can't remember it anymore. Alphabet, Dalet, Gimel, and we went through Hebrew word pictures because each letter was a picture of something. In the language, you didn't necessarily have to read phonetically, but the pictures would give you a word picture of what was being said. But anyway, so, and this morning's message, it's, since it's an acrostic and it's poetry, this morning's message is entitled, Lessons from My Father, Poetic Grace, Qualities of a Godly Woman. And this message or this last part of Psalm 31 is instructing this man's son to how to find a virtuous wife, a noble wife. And these character qualities are good for young ladies as well as young men. There's only two of you today. But young men, you know, these character qualities are good for both male and female. And you may think, why are we having a message like this to mid-high kids? You know, getting married, that's the furthest thing from my mind. And you're probably right. But there's two reasons why we're doing this. First of all, we teach through the Bible. And God is covering it right now. So it's important to the Lord. Secondly, we're laying down a foundation in your life. See, if you start laying the foundations early, when you get to that point, you're already there. It's not like you're trying to figure it out. It's not like, well, I don't know, this finding a wife thing or finding a husband thing, how does this thing work? What do I look for? What are the qualities am I looking for? And we're setting this foundation. And so hopefully it'll stick with you. And also, you'll know where it is in the Bible. And you can read it on your own. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this message. I ask that you grab a hold of my heart and my mind and you help me instruct. And I pray, Lord, you open our hearts, that you, the Holy Spirit, would teach us how to be better men and better women. Without you, Jesus, we can't do it. And so we ask for your help and your provision in these things this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So, let's read together verse 10. If I can turn the page. A wife of noble character who can find. She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So guys, a wife is more than what you think. Now, I mean, guys, young men, a wife is more than what you think. She has a lot of power to bless your lives. And as you've seen that with your mothers, most of you, your moms are probably pretty awesome ladies. And they bless your life in very special ways. But did you notice in verse 10, it begins with a question. What was asked? What was the question asked? A wife of noble character, who can find? She's not an everyday person. It's not a person you just, oh, there she is across the street. She's a special gal of special character. Did you notice it doesn't say, is this Miss Israel? It's not talking about her looks. It's talking about her character. And see, God is more concerned with our character than what we look. And young men, this is taught to us because sometimes, you know, the way we're wired, we're so attracted by way ladies look, and we miss what the character's like. And so you end up getting married to Jezebel, and your life is miserable. Well, she looks great on the outside, but on the inside, oh boy, you're like that guy who's sitting on the roof. That's part of the Proverbs. It says a contentious woman, it's better to sit on the roof than to dwell with a contentious woman. And so we got to look at character. So she's known for her noble character, that which means her dignity, her grace, her faithfulness to the Lord. Those are important qualities for you young guys to look for, and you women to ask God to transform your hearts to be. Also, look at the comment that is made. He said he asked the question, now he makes his comment. She's worth far more than rubies. Well, rubies are precious gems, and she's worth more than those. And why is she far worth more than all these precious gems? Well, let's look at verse 11. Do you need to get a Bible? I'll get you a Bible. Hang on. In verse 11, her husband gives the answer. Would somebody read that answer for me? In verse 11, what's the answer? He gives you the answer. Because why? He has full confidence in her. That is so precious, to be married to a woman where you can just put full confidence in her.
Mine says the heart of her husband safely trusts her.
Yeah. Safely trusts her. That means that she is reliable. Oh, I mean, I thank God that I have a wife like that. That I put my full confidence in her. She does things for me that I'm not very good at. And she manages our house. And he puts her full confidence in her. That's worth more than all those rubies. And look at verse 12. And notice her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. And what it's saying is, it's better to have a wife of noble character than to have wealth. Better than have, you know, all the bucks, the big bank account. It's more precious to have this woman at your side than it is to have material things. Your life will be fully blessed. And so, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. You know, I think of my mother-in-law. She passed away several years ago. And my father-in-law's life has not been the same. You know, I mean, when she was alive, she was the heart of that home. And when she passed away, you know, things were different. You know, a woman has great power in the home. And so she brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. And so for all of us, we ought to be people of noble character. Allow God to transform our hearts in sincerity. And it doesn't mean that we can be perfect, but it does mean we have a fire burning our hearts and lives to do God's will. You want to have that fire, that desire, because when you have that desire, you're going to want to do what God requires, to have that fire burning in your heart. And see, none of us here is perfect. And we're going to read about this gal, and we're going to think, wow, this lady rocks. I don't know if I can live up to it. But you know what? Like any standard, it's something that we shoot for. It's a goal. It's an aspiration. It's not to discourage us. And so, let's, as people of Christ, our goal in marriage is to bring good to each other and not harm all the days of our life. Not just the wife, but also the husband. So her worth is priceless. Now let's look at her labor is profitable. Check this out, verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with her eager hands. She's like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family, portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Well, what's the first thing you notice about this gal? She's a working woman, isn't she? Did you notice how busy she is? Look at verse 13. She selects and works with eager hands. Verse 14, she's like a merchant ship. Verse 15, she's an early riser and she feeds the family. Verse 16, she's a businesswoman. Verse 17, she works vigorously and is organized. Verse 18, she works into the night. Verse 19, she weaves a life for her family. She's a working woman. Are you guys tired? Can you imagine doing that day after day? Wow. She works very hard. And you know, and this is true for us young us men, because all through Proverbs, if you were with me through this whole study, God will turn his attention to his sons not to be lazy, to be industrious, to get things done. Because he says, you know, laziness leads to poverty. If you're not willing to put hard work in, you're not going to reap the benefits of things. And likewise, this woman right here, she's very busy, very industrious. Well, she works her eager hands. You know, she selects wool and flax and works with her eager hands. And she was basically a seamstress. In this culture, they would weave blankets and stuff together. In verse 13, she's like a merchant ship. You know, she was the Walmart shopper. She's like that merchant ship. You know, your mom, you know, at least my family, my wife goes shopping and the car is filled with groceries. She's like that merchant ship. And she parks in the garage and we empty it out. Verse 16, she gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. You know, my wife gets up with me. I don't know why, but she does. She gets up. I get up at 5 a.m. She's up. First thing she does is she goes, starts the coffee, and she likes to sit on the couch and meditate and pray before she gets her day started, because she wants to be up and ready before our daughters get up. And so it's a busy life. Also, verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. She's a businesswoman. You know, this woman's pretty remarkable. I mean, she could be working on Wall Street. She can even be a pharmacist. I mean, she's working. She's bringing income into the family. You know, and not every mom can do that. But, you know, but every mom gives invaluable things to the family. Let's see, verse 16, she considers field. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. You know, vigorously means she gets it done. She doesn't waste time. You know, and a lot of times when your parents tell you to clean your room, do you clean it right away or do you kind of like fiddle about? If you're anything like my daughters, do you fiddle about? Or like me, when I'm cleaning something, it's like I go and I go, oh, I remember this. And, you know, look at it and you start thinking and you get sidetracked and you get nothing done. But now as I get older, you know, it's like, let's get this done because I don't want to do this all day. So she works vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. And that also, I think her arms strong for her task is also talks about being organized. Being very organized. Women are very good at organization. I was listening to something on the radio. I think it was Focus on the Family, and they were talking about this guy and his wife. They wrote a book, and it has to talk about the differences between men and women, and women, how differently they're wired from us guys. And from a point of view of perception, women can have better hearing, better smelling, and their seeing is much more acute than most men. You know, when they look at a rainbow, they see more shades of the colors of the rainbow than most men. Oh, I just see seven colors. There it is. Women have an ability to multitask where men are more serial-minded. You know, I can only do one thing at a time. But the difference between a man is he can really focus much greater on that one task. Where women, they could do, I could do this and do this, talk on the phone, kids are asking them questions. You know, I'm on the phone and my kids are asking me questions. I just kind of like, I can't.
Well, you have to be able to multitask because if your kids are getting into stuff while you're cooking, you need to be able to know.
Yeah, I can see Sam when she has kids, she'll be like doing something over here, kids getting there, she takes off her shoe, throws it at them. And gets back to her business and yells at him. Oh, hi, honey. You know, it's just multitasking. So,
and
I know, I'm just kidding. Johnny, wing. My mom used to chase me around with a belt. I was a little rascal. I remember as a little guy, you know, like 4 years old, looking at my mom. My mom's like this tall, you know. She's just this little thing. And I'm thinking to her, my little cocky four-year-old mind, she can't catch me. She'd come after me. I'd run, dive under the bed. Oh, that's funny. So she's a busy gal. Verse 19, in her hand she holds the distaff. And last night I was thinking, what in the world is this distaff? Well, it's a weaving device. It's like a paddle, and they wrap the wool around it, and they put it in the spindle thing, or they'll use it to, you know, to put it in the loom to weave. So that's a distaff. And grasps the spindle with her fingers. So she's a busy lady. But not only she's busy, she also is a gracious person. Her loving kindness is perceptible. Let's look at verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected in the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. Well, she is known for her compassion. Did you notice that? What is she doing? She's opening her arms to the poor and needy. She has compassion for those who are less fortunate in her than her. And, you know, and that's a woman who really shares the heart of Jesus, because Jesus was known for his compassion. Do you remember the story when the crowds followed Jesus for days? And he looked at him as a sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible said he had great compassion. And then he told his disciples, you know what? Let's feed these folks. And they're going, we have nothing to eat. What are we going to do? We don't even have enough money. And Jesus says, just tell them to sit down. And they got that little guy who had the loaves of bread and fish, and he multiplied it, and they fed them till they were completely full. He was compassionate towards the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household. You know, this woman is prepared. When you're prepared, you need not to fear. And, you know, it's like, you know, your mom's probably did it to you before you go to school. And you know it's going to be a sunny day, but she wants you to wear your winter coat. You know, she's so, you know, I don't want you to get cold, you know. You might freeze to death. You know, it's like when my daughters go to bed, my wife puts a ton of blankets on them and tries to suffocate them. And because she doesn't want them to get cold at night. You know, they're always looking out for us. And that's, it's good. It's a wonderful thing. In verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed and she's clothed in fine linen and purple. You know, this here it indicates she's a very elegant lady. She tries to take care of herself, and that's good. We all should try to take care of ourselves. And notice that because of her reputation is a gold star for her husband. Look at verse 23. Her husband is respected in the city gate where he takes among the elders of the land. And in this culture, let's say Albuquerque was a town in Israel several thousand years ago. Well, each city had a wall that surrounded it, and it had an entrance, a city gate. So I-40 would be a city gate at each end of I-40 coming in and leaving. And I-25 would be a gate entering and leaving. And the elders of the city would be there. And that would be like the city council, the mayor. And they would make decisions. Well, here, this woman's reputation, it's a gold star for this guy. He has a reputation among the elders of being a leader in the city. And I think this woman encourages her husband to take leadership. Because, you know, you women have a lot of power to encourage.
Well, I think she also shows him respect. And that's a big thing, because if your wife doesn't respect you, a lot of other people aren't either. You know, especially if she's beating you up in public. So I think it's really important for a wife to show respect to her husband for more than one reason. For guys, I think respect is love. And if you don't show them respect,
that's good. That's very much a true statement. And so, but young men, you know, you got to be, they will address it about being compassionate towards your wife. But her love for her husband and showing respect elevates him to a higher place than higher than he could be. And that's a great thing. It doesn't mean like you're going to get married and you don't want to become a nag, because, you know, let's face it, everybody has a certain level of capacity. You know, I mean, I don't think I could be president of the United States no matter how much my wife encourages me. But the goal is you want to make, and it goes with us guys, we want to make our wives and our husbands the best they could be in God's sight. To use their gifts to beyond the ability they can ever imagine or think, because of your encouragement and love and because of the Holy Spirit. And so we need, ladies, I encourage you, pray for your future husbands. You may not get married, but pray for them. You know, it's going to be an awesome day when you stand before God and you're marrying this person and you're going to think to yourself, this is the guy I've been praying for since I was a young girl. Here he is. God answered my prayer. It's an awesome thing to think, wow, this is the woman I've been praying for. Man, I didn't know it was going to be you. Or maybe you never know. It's a good thing. Again, in verse 19, she's holding the staff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She's a busy lady. She's very industrious. Her dignity is pleasant. Let's look at verse 25. Her dignity is pleasant. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all, he says. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. The joy of the Lord is her strength. Did you notice that? She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at days to come. You know, her clothing is striking. It's not what she's wearing on the outside, it's what she's carrying on the inside. Have you ever been around or seen people, you know, they may be very attractive, but they got a real glum personality? But you know, there's somebody who may not be as attractive, but they got a great personality, have a lot of joy, and they're fun to be around. And that's what makes them attractive. And so she's wearing strength. That's faith. And dignity, that's sincerity. And joy, she's filled with laughter. This woman is pleasant to be around because she's a blessing to those around her. Be a blessing to others. Notice her speech is filled with wisdom. That's the word of God. Filled with instruction and patience. You know, as a mom, if you guys become mothers or you're, the Bible says even young, older women to disciple younger women. You know, the speech is to be filled with instruction. Sam does a discipleship with young ladies. You know, her speech is filled with instructions as she shares here. That's good. Her sight is set on the affairs of her household. She's quick to take care of things. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, I mean, she's not watching Oprah all day. You know. So that's a good thing. The joy of her husband and children is her encouragement. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. And you know what? If you guys want to bless your moms, encourage her. Say thank you. When she makes that meal, say, man, that was awesome. Write a nice note to your mom saying how much you appreciate her. That would be a great encouragement. That's something you could do today. Takes 5 minutes. Not even that. Just a quick note. Put it in a place where she finds it. Be a blessing to her. Listen to her. Do special things for your mom. Young men, learn the importance of praise. When you get married, your wife is going to need your encouragement as well. She's busy. She's working hard. And there's times moms are simply exhausted, and you know that because you live in a family. As a husband, we need to praise and sometimes take over stuff. Get busy and not to come home and kick our feet on the lazy boy and just chill out. There's a time for that, but sometimes you need to get involved and be busy about that. So Learn the importance of praise, guys. Now, did you notice what the husband said about this in this passage? Let's look at that. Verse 29. Many women do noble things. Yeah, there's a lot of noble women. But you, honey, surpass them all. It was directed to her. You know, I know a guy, you know, Pastor Skip used to joke about it, but I thought it was a joke. But I know this gal, her husband said, told her, I'll tell you that I love you. I told you I loved you when I married you, and I'll tell you when it changes. And he lives that way. And she told me, goes, yeah, my husband said, I don't need to tell you I love you. I told you once. Praise is important. Learn to give your praise and devotion to your wife. And so, and she needs that encouragement. She doesn't need the blah, 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 blah. Okay? So, likewise, young ladies, your husbands need your loving devotion, respect, and encouragement for him to arise above. So, let's close this because it's getting late. Godly living is poetic. If we build ourselves in the most holy and precious faith as the Bible describes it, God encourages, build ourselves up in this holy and precious faith. And if we do so, we will have the fragrance of life. Springtime is coming, and have you ever smelled the flowers where you're just walking and you can smell the fragrance? Well, we want our lives to be such that the Lord Jesus dominates our hearts and minds so much when people walk by us, they smell Jesus. They smelled the love of God in your hearts. Now, so let's begin today. You guys who are, 11, 12, maybe 13-year-olds, maybe older, old guys like me, let's prepare ourselves to be these kind of people now. You who aren't married, start praying. Start preparing yourself to be this person of noble character. And so, you're not too young to consider these words of this proverb to grow thereby. So I'm going to give you three applications. And if anything to take from this message, take these. Build yourself in the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let the Word of God reside in your heart. And that begins by praying and reading your Bibles, because your Bible is a talking book. It speaks to you. I mean, it can really grab a hold of your heart, and God, through the Holy Spirit, can really speak to you through it. Secondly, practice compassion and servanthood. Begin at home. If there's a place to practice compassion, it's at home, especially with your siblings. Okay, I'll do that for you. Okay, you can have the last cookie. Okay, Mom, you want me to clean my room? I'll do it without grumbling and complaining, you know. Practice these things at home. Because, man, when you get married, whoo, as you know in your family, you know everybody's cracks. You know everybody's cracks. So we need to build ourselves up. Thirdly, pray for the person you're going to marry someday. Pray for that person now. Start praying for them and see what God does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your word. And gosh, Lord, we thank you for this thing, this aspiration of this noble wife. Not for just the ladies here, but for us men too, to look for that in a woman, but also to be that in ourselves, to be diligent and to be of character and compassion and humility. I pray, Lord, that we be a people who are so filled with your joy that we would encourage and bless those around us. And so, Father, I lift up these kids, and Lord, some of them may get married someday, and I pray, Lord, for their spouses, that person, that they would be a person that would lift the other up to be greater than they were without them. And I pray, Lord, that because of their relationship with each other, their relationship with you would be better enhanced. We thank you and we praise you, Jesus, for your faithful words and your encouragement and the power that you give us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.